This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, I'm a little late getting on here, aren't I? Not much. You know what happens is that I'm walking down the hallway, and who do I run into but the big boss? And I don't know when I can say, oh, you know, I really got to get away and go do that radio show. And then he says, you're doing a radio show? You know, no, I'm just making all that up. Our number is 260-6368, 260-6368. I was talking to the guy who does our website over here. By the way, if you've never been to the website of our stations, go to WWL.com. That's all. I mean, that's easy to remember, WWL.com. And just punch on there and just start digging around. There are many different things you can listen to, including this program. And as you might imagine, it's just going crazy these days. But one of the things that they did something on the website, they put out a story, part of which was an interview that I had with the guys over on WWL about this article that came out in the New York Times last week saying that gumbo was dead in New Orleans. Literally, I'm using their words. New Orleans is dead in New Orleans, and you can't get gumbo anymore. And gumbo is just a lost cause. Forget about it. It's from yesterday, and it's nobody's doing it the right way anymore. What is the right way is the first thing that comes to my mind. If there's something I know about gumbo, and I doubt you would try to gainsay me on this, there is no such thing as two gumbos that are exactly the same. They're all different from one another. So how can you say that, well, this isn't the classic gumbo? What is the classic gumbo? There's nobody who can define that. Nobody. Well, anyway, I guess this guy who wrote it, who's a local guy but writing for the New York Times pretty often, I see. That might make you think that I'm jealous, but I don't think so. Maybe I am, but I don't think so. I just thought it was an outrageous thing to say, gumbo going out of style in New Orleans. I don't know. 260-6368 is our telephone number. I'm asking for some help with not what I would call a big dilemma, but something that I can't seem to come up with an answer for to my own satisfaction. I'm going to go out to eat in a restaurant today, and what I'm going to do with the information that I gather on this in this dinner is that I'm going to walk away from it with enough information to write an article about the restaurant. There are some restaurants where you can do that, and you get pages and pages of stuff to write about, and there are some that don't really have that much to say. So I'm asking you to tell me a restaurant that, if you were a restaurant critic, you would say, I think I might want to write about this place. Tell me that. You know, my problem is that I've been at this maybe a little too long. You know, I've been writing a weekly column since September 1st, 1972. I'll never forget that. And I've been doing it ever since. But one runs low on ideas sometimes, and you just forget about the places that really should be covered because maybe I haven't been to them in years and years and years. Or maybe it's a brand new restaurant. If you have one to report on, it's something new or something that's old but is not well known, would you call me over here on the air and tell me where this place might be? And then I'll thank you for it. And Judy is here. Judy, welcome to the Food Show. This isn't my sister, is it?
Hi, Tom.
I guess you're not. No.
My recommendation tonight.
Yeah, where should I go?
Oak Street, DTB, down the Bible.
Oh, that is a good place, but I've never written about them. That's a great idea.
The beet salad. Don't walk out without the beet salad. It's to die for.
I can believe it. I love beets, don't you?
Oh, I do too. My mom's in heaven, but ooh, yeah. We always had beet salad when we were growing up.
You know, we cannot
go try it, Tom.
Oh, I would. That's a great idea. I wonder if my sister is free, or my daughter. Either one of them. Just so I don't dine alone. You know, I'm very sensitive. Yeah. That's a great idea. It's sometimes a little tough to park in that neighborhood. And
well,
it's so cold that
night.
I don't, huh?
It is cold. You're right.
I don't want to walk 5 blocks I'm just too much of a wimp at my advanced age to do that. But
we're older than
but,
you.
But that's a great idea. It's a neat looking restaurant inside. Their menu goes all over the place. It's mostly New Orleans food, but they have all kinds of unusual dishes there. And I agree with you. I think it's very good. I really love it.
It is delicious.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy wherever you go.
I will. Thank you very much for the call.
You're welcome.
See ya. Bye. She's talking about, what was the name? It stands for something. DTB, Down the Bayou is officially the name of it, but the signs all say DTB. And it's on Oak Street, about one or two blocks towards the Jefferson Parish city limits. So it's just a quick little jump. Oak Street has become this terrific it's not new. It's actually very old. It's been around for a long time. It used to be a commercial area for the town of Carrollton. I think it was actually the city of Carrollton back then, before it was annexed into New Orleans. And this was where all the shops were. And it was still like that when I used to work around there, right on the corner of Oak and South Carrollton, at Time Saver number 1. It was the very first one on Oak and Carrollton. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. I'm looking for somebody to talk to right now. And another thing I'm looking to talk about is if you have any ideas for me to go out to eat tonight, I'm looking for a restaurant that is interesting enough that I can build an article out of a quick visit to it if I eat enough different things, you know. And it can't be a place that I've been to so much that I know everything about it and everybody knows about it, too, because they've read all my articles about it, maybe. No, I'm looking for something that's a little bit unusual, but also not so unusual that nobody would be interested in it. So I'm always on the lookout for anything like that. And if you have a good suggestion for me, I would be very, very pleased to get it. Thank you very much, Judy, for offering that. That's exactly the kind of thing I was looking for. So 260-6368. We are having, for some reason, a busy day today. I guess I can ruin it by saying that, but I hope not. Ba-dup, 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 ba-dup. We have some Eat Club stuff going on pretty soon. On the 31st, let me make sure that's right. Yeah, the 31st, we will be at the Roosevelt Hotel. We're doing an Eat Club dinner, but we're doing it a little bit differently from the way we usually do it. I let the hotel handle all the reservations and all the money, and you pay up front so when you get there, you can just sit down and go. We're doing this in the Fountain Lounge. This is the main restaurant on the ground floor of the Roosevelt Hotel. They have many other places to eat in that hotel. It's a big place. But that's the one where if you want something a little bit more than a sandwich or a quick breakfast, they have full-fledged, full menu service and all kinds of good things there. They had a terrific Revillon menu this year because I don't know how many people were exposed to that or had a chance to try it, but I'm going to ask them to do that menu over again, maybe making one or two changes in it. And that's what we will serve that night. And it's a really fun place to be. They have live music, kind of on the jazzy side, but not far out jazz. And I'm looking forward to being there again, broadcasting live from the Roosevelt Hotel, where they are celebrating their 125th anniversary of the hotel. And interestingly enough, our radio station is at the same spot, same number of years. 125 years ago. That's a long time ago. But, you know, this is an old city. And we do it right, and they certainly do as well. So mark your calendar. I don't have the menu or the price or any of that stuff yet, but I do know it's going to be on the 31st of this month. And it'll be at the Roosevelt Hotel. And I don't know what their parking arrangement is. I don't know if it's free. It might be validated, but I know they do have one. So if you can just pull up, and they'll valet park your car for you. It's the Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice. We talk about absolutely anything having to do with eating, dining out, dining in. And if you have enjoyed yourself in some restaurant around town or even some neighborhood joint, we like those too. You know, it wouldn't be New Orleans without that. I've made that point more than a few times. If you were to come to New Orleans and only ate in five-star restaurants, first of all, you'd run out of the five stars pretty quickly. There aren't many of them. If you're going to have a five-star rating for something, there ought to be just a few of them. But anyway, that's not what you came here for. If you only eat in high-end, gourmet-style restaurants, you are missing the point of New Orleans. You've got to also include the neighborhood, street corner places with the poor boy sandwiches and the red beans on Monday and the whole range of that sort of thing. I think you ought to get to some of the seafood restaurants, the casual ones with the fried everything and the whole flounder, you know, that kind of stuff. That's important. And you also have to have some Creole restaurants, which go back in time in some ways a lot longer than you might imagine, and pick up some of those. And anyway, you can't just do the fancy places. So I'm asking you, what do you like these days? What's your favorite restaurant these days? What's your favorite food, come to think of it? Our number is 260-6368.
Now, if you would like to celebrate something today.
You want to celebrate something?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. What is it?
I tell you what, I was reading your newsletter today, and I found out that it's National Curry Day today.
It is National Curry Day today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, there are a few more things that you can celebrate, too, food-wise and otherwise. Otherwise, it is National Hat Day. So if you have a hat, you should have that on right now. And it's a nice thing to celebrate.
Yeah.
It is also National Booch Day.
Booch?
Booch.
Booch? B-O-U-C-H?
No, B-O-O-C-H.
Booch.
Yeah. However, that is a beverage.
Booch?
Yes.
It is. What is it?
It's called booch anyway, but it is called kombucha.
Kombucha.
Kombucha. Yeah, it is a...
getting more mysterious by the moment here.
It is a alcoholic drink.
We figured
it's
that.
It's brewed.
Did you know that
if
you die of cirrhosis of the liver, it's considered natural causes
of
in New
Orleans?
Of course
it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course it is. Now, there's one more thing that we can celebrate.
Yeah.
It's National Strawberry Ice Cream Day.
Oh, who could not like that?
Correct.
Yeah.
So there, gives you a few things to celebrate. Drink one for National Strawberry Ice Cream. Or maybe somebody's hat. Your hat. Give me another drink.
Or go and get some Spumoni, because part of that is strawberry.
Absolutely.
And you also have a few other flavors in there.
Well, nice. And have a wonderful time.
Yeah, of course. That's the goal of just about anything. Yep. That's true. It's the Food Show. And what you got on those lines? I'm looking for a restaurant to go to tonight so I can write about it tomorrow. If you have any ideas about this, I've got plenty of ideas myself. Don't make it seem that I'm bankrupt. But I'd like to hear some other ideas about this, preferably a place I have not been to in a long time or ever. And I'll bet you know a couple of places that are not well known that you like a lot. By the way, if you don't want to tell me about such a place because you're afraid that if I talk about it too much, it'll get packed with customers and you won't be able to get a table very easily anymore. I have never talked to a restaurateur who told me that anything like that ever happens. So I wouldn't worry about that. In fact, if you want to worry about something as regards your relationship with your family or neighborhood restaurant, it would be to know that if you get the word out, and I'm offering you a way to do it right now, and the restaurant benefits from it and does get some more customers, this makes it more likely that it will stay in business. Whereas if it doesn't get that kind of buzz, nobody will know about it, and then the restaurant will go out of business. So you certainly don't want that. You want to help them a lot. Believe me, the restaurant people are very appreciative whenever anybody gives them a plug some kind of way. So let's do it. 260-6368 is our number.
Our friend Judy had a nice, you know, down in Carrollton in the Tree Streets.
That's right.
And she was talking about Oak Street. But there is also a lot of good restaurants on Maple Street, too.
That's true. Which end of Maple? Oh, well, let's see. You've got Brightson's. You had the Maple Cafe, but they have gone away. I was sorry to see. I don't know what exactly caused that, but they are gone. You know what else I found out today? Somebody asked me something. I forget what the setup was, but about a restaurant that I'm trying to remember what the whole deal was now, and it's all slipped into the gutter. So. We'll put that off for a couple of minutes. 260-6368. 260-6368. Call right now. You'll get right in. Love to hear from you about the food scene, you know, wherever that is, wherever that takes you. Yesterday, I don't think I had anything to eat all day long. This is probably how I managed to lose 80 pounds, was by on certain days when it wasn't convenient to eat, I didn't. And let's see. I'm sorry. No, I did go somewhere, but this is on. There's a list of restaurants that my wife and my daughter are so crazy about that they go there all the time, and I am sick of them because we go there way too much. One of them is La Carreta. It's a Mexican restaurant. There are several locations of it around town. There are a couple of them that are confusing. One of them is La Carreta's Grill, just Carreta's Grill. And there's some relationship there. I don't know what it is, but a lot of the style of a lot of the dishes is the same at both of them. But I think I like La Carreta better. So anyway, they go there all the time. My daughter is nuts about Mexican food, even when she was little, like, you know, 3 years old. She would get in there with chips and salsa, and she would eat that salsa no matter how hot it was and just put it away, and 3 years old and loves hot peppers. You don't see that too much. Anyway, she's also the girl who, when I made the root beer glazed ham, which has an exterior coating that is just black as can be and crusty and really chewy, and she looked at it and said, "Ooh, what is that?" And I said, "Here, I'll cut some of it off." And she picked up a piece of the black stuff and ate it and said, "Mmm." And the next thing I know, all of the coating on the outside was gone. Different people get tastes for different things, don't they? What's your oddball taste? Is there anything that you just love that you'd be ashamed to admit this to friends? You know, I had one for a long time. And they had this distinction. The place was the Crystal. Remember the Crystal? This is not a nationwide chain, mostly in the southeast part of the country. They date back to the 1930s. They really go back there, the Crystal. And when I was in high school, we used to go there all the time to the one on Airline Highway. And no kidding, the hamburgers in those days, they were 10 cents, 15 cents. I'm not making this up. This is true. This was in the 60s. And some of us would actually get five of those little square hamburgers or more and the fries. And we'd go tooling around the city looking for what teenage boys look for all the time. And that's we never found it, of course. So that was that. But we always did get those burgers. And after that whole scene broke up, I was left with a taste for those little square hamburgers that had some onions on them. They would grill them first one way and then the other, and then there were onions in there that had cooked down a bit, and mustard and pickles, and that was about it. And I remember a time when they were 10 cents. I'm not making that up. So the Crystal, as I reached adulthood, I found that that really was, at least for me, something to be ashamed of, that I even could stand those things. But they had a flavor all their own, and I just kept that taste in my mouth for a long time. And then, after all those years, it was a family-owned outfit, even though they had lots of locations all over the South. And they sold it. And almost to the day when the new owners took over, I went over there to see if it was going to remain the same, but it didn't. Either one of two things happened. Either they changed the recipe, or my palate changed. Either could be true. Your palate will change on you. I don't know if you are aware of that, but certain things that you used to really love, I bet this happens to you. If you there's some dish that you always love, or some food item that you just are crazy about, and then you don't get them for a long time, and then you check back in, and there it is. And you take a bite and you say, well, this doesn't taste at all like what I remember. It's hard to do that. There are certain food items whose main distinction comes from the fact that they have never changed. I'll give you one really outstanding example of this. Chisasi ham. The Chisasi family has been making ham and things like ham in New Orleans since the 1800s. So this is nothing new. They had the expertise. They knew what they were doing. Always did. When I was a kid living on the corner Ursuline and Murray Street, there was this little store right across the street from us. And my mother would go in there every day and buy the food that she would cook that day for lunch or dinner or whatever. And she would go over there, and she would get some ham now and then. It was like deli ham, except nobody called it deli. Nobody knew what that word meant. And they would slice it up and bring it over, and we would eat it on a sandwich, or we'd just eat it all by itself. And I always thought that Chisasi ham, I didn't know it had a name. It was just ham to me, was just delicious. And to this day, I'm still buying the stuff. And every time I take a bite of it, it reminds me immediately of when I was 5 years old or 8 years old or whenever that was that I first was exposed to that. And it seems exactly the same. That must really be tough to do, because I know very few other food operations that can pull that off. All right, we'll come back with more of the Food Show. We'd love to hear from you. Would you mind giving us a call and unloading your brain from some of the things we talk about here? What's a good restaurant for me to go to tonight for dinner? It's nice to be here with you talking about the food scene around town, except are you here or did you run out for something? Well, as soon as you get back, would you sit down and tell me where I ought to go tonight for dinner? I'm looking for a restaurant that is one that would be interesting enough for me to build an article out of it. It doesn't have to be a long, 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 long article. But, you know, it has to have, some interesting specials, maybe an unusual dining room. You know, there's many ways that a restaurant can be distinctive. So tell me about a distinctive restaurant that you like. And know that I'm looking for one that is going to be one that I have not been to before, or that if I have been to it before, it's been a long time. I know you have no idea how you can tell that, but just take a wild guess at it. I think you'll be close enough. The number is 260-6368. But failing that, and I don't want you to fail, but just in case, it wouldn't be much of a failure anyway. If you have a report on a restaurant you yourself have been to lately, or if you cooked something over the weekend that came out just great, or very badly, tell me about it. You know what? I don't think I've mentioned this too much, if at all, on the program lately. My wife, about 2 weeks ago, she said, I'm finished with this. You want the rest of it? And it was a plate that looked like an omelet that had had a weed eater stuck on it and just beat up everything into little shreds. That's perfectly all right because there is an utterly acceptable expression even for that. They call it a scramble. And it's not like an omelet. It's not like scrambled eggs either. It's sort of somewhere in between. Anyway, that's mainly what she had in her plate. And I said, yeah, sure, I'll take that. And I ate it up, and it was very good. And then the next day she did another one, this time on purpose, made enough of it so both of us could eat it. And then the day after that, and the day after that, she kept making this every day. She didn't do it today. She had something else going on. But it was really good, and I want to get the recipe out of her, which I could do just by watching her do it. I can make something kind of like that, but she also makes it vegetarian. She's not a vegetarian, but she's trying to figure out something dietarily speaking. So we have that going on. And it's a great little dish. So if you have invented something good that everybody in your family really loves, I think all families do that to some extent anyway. One of the ones that we've always had in our family, and I'm talking about my wife and our two kids when they were still kids, we had a pasta dish that we just called garlicky pasta. It was angel hair pasta most of the time. Sometimes we'd use fettuccine. And we would make this up, and it would be olive oil, garlic, parsley, a little bit of crushed red pepper, and we would toss the piece, pasta with all of that in there, and you know, cook it so it's nice and steaming. And it was really great. And what was the most amazing thing about it was that everybody in the family. My wife and I and both kids, and the kids were pretty small back then, even though we loaded that dish up with so much garlic that not even a dedicated Italian might not wince at it, but it was just delicious, and it's so simple to make. You basically get the olive oil and the garlic going until you can smell it. Do not be tempted to put onions and garlic together. If you talk to any Italian chef, he'll tell you you never use garlic and onions together. So that's what you would do. And then you'd have crushed red pepper. And then parsley. Parsley is really nice to add to that. It looks good and tastes good. Or you could use fresh basil if you have some fresh basil around. You cook the pasta until it's finished and to get steaming on you. You want very thin pasta, either flat and thin or a string pasta that's very small in gauge, I guess. And then you get all this going in a skillet. You have the pasta over here that's finished. And then you get all this olive oil and garlic and everything. And you toss it right there at the table. You put it on the table. Bingo, it is garlicky pasta the way we make it at the Fitzmaurice Clan hangout. And go ahead and use that. You'll be amazed at how quickly you'll learn how to do it. And if you need a recipe, an actual printed or screen recipe, you can get this on my website, nomenu.com. All of the recipes that I give out frequently on the air, I've got about 300. No, it's more than that. It's about 700 recipes up there. Here's how you get them. You go to nomenu.com. Brings up the home page right away, and you will see down at the bottom, there's a place that you click on, and it says just simply recipes. And what will happen is there'll be a drop down, and it'll give you two choices of indexes. One of them is by in alphabetical order. So the barbecue shrimp, for example, would be under the B's. The other index was an index of the main ingredients. So for barbecue shrimp, that would be shrimp. So it would be under the S's for shrimp. And between the two of them, you'll find every single recipe I've got. And it's right there. Help yourself. It's free. The whole thing is. And it includes lots and lots of recipes that we have been doing here for 40 years. Is that possible? Are we really here that long? That's amazing. 260-6368. We had a busy show going on in the first hour and mostly into the second hour, but where'd everybody go? Is there something going on right now? In the meantime, let's take a look at our food almanac for today. It's National Curry Day. We mentioned that earlier. William Prout was born today in 1785. His work focused on the chemistry of food and the digestive system. He discovered that the stomach does its work with hydrochloric acid. Who would think? You would think that that would be limited to swimming pools, but no. Anyway, that's what he discovered. And he was also the man who noted that most foods can be classified as either carbohydrates, proteins, or fats. If you're not any of those three, then I don't know what you are. He'd be proud of those nutritional labels on food packages these days, the ones that we're beginning to consider more important than matters of how good they taste and whether they need to eat that stuff in the first place. So anyway, that's the guy's name in case you ever wondered. I can't imagine, but you never know. Today in 1889, a guy by the name of Daniel Johnson patented a revolving table for dining rooms aboard ships. So the deal was people would sit at a big round table and they could turn the top of the table just by, you know, pushing on it a little bit. And as plates would go by, there would be, you know, some roast or something, and then some vegetables, some peas, and some rice, and just, and you, all you had to do was just wait for that part of the table to come right in front of you. This concept can be seen in actual action in a number of restaurants in Mississippi, notably the one I think a lot of people know, although not nearly everybody, is a place in Macomb, Mississippi, called the Dinner Bell. Anybody out there know whether this place is still going on? There were a bunch of these at one time, but most of them have closed. Last time I looked, they were still in business in Macomb, the Dinner Bell. If anybody knows about the Dinner Bell, call me up and tell me. Update my information about that.
Now, I've run across this in
you have?
In Chinese restaurants, at large tables where you have lot of people sitting around.
Yeah.
And right in the middle is a turntable. And you turn it around and pick something off there and put it on your plate. That's where I found it.
Ah, well, that makes sense because especially Chinese food, but really most Asian foods to begin with, they are famous for not doing entrees and appetizers or anything like that. They bring out a plate, they put it down there, and it is expected that everybody at the table will share that dish. And that's still how it is in most restaurants, except, you know, squeamish people. You want to hear about a food disaster? This is a weird one. I remember reading this years ago and thinking, what would a tank of molasses be in the middle of downtown Boston? But indeed, today in 1919, there was this enormous tank of molasses, and it broke open and flooded the downtown of Boston with over 2 million gallons of molasses. Can you imagine what that must have been to clean up? It proved that molasses in January is not all that slow. You know, people tell you that all the time. It's slow as molasses in springtime or wintertime. But it moved at 30 miles an hour. And before it stopped, it had destroyed several homes and a lot of buildings. 21 people drowned in the molasses. People would not make gingerbread or pancakes for years after, I'll betcha.
I would imagine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, stay away from that.
Just today, we had a tanker truck full of liquid chocolate open in Arizona, right on the highway.
Well, it's too hot out there. All the chocolate melted, right? No?
In Arizona, not necessarily, no.
No?
They have cold weather there.
Yeah, they do. Although, you know, I was there a bunch of years ago. I actually did my radio show from I'm trying to remember the name of the radio station, but it was a big deal kind of a place. And they let me do the food show from there. And then while I was driving around, I kept hearing the talk show host saying, well, you know, this is funny. Here it is, April 18th, and we have hit our first 100-degree temperature of the year. In April? Wow. That must be one heck of a hot place. Notice I said heck, because, you know, 260-6368.
You have a statement here on your...
I do?
On your newsletter by Peter Ustinov, who is...
Oh, yeah.
He was an interesting character in his own right. A foodie of large proportion.
Yeah.
And
what did he say?
Well, he said the playwrights are men who have been dining for months in an Indian restaurant after eating curry night after night. They deny the existence of asparagus. I don't exactly know what he means by that.
Me neither, but I think it's words to live by.
Well, yeah, another one here, the words to drink by, you have down here now.
That too,
by,
yeah.
By Homer, of all people.
Homer, I studied Homer in when I was taking Greek lessons at Jesuit. For 2 years, that's what brought me down was Greek, second year Greek. I did very badly in it, and they threw me out.
But he says that wine urges me on.
Oh, to read that. That's a great quotation.
It is. Wine urges me on, the bewitching wine. Which sets even a wise man to singing and to laughing gently, and rouses him up to dance and brings forth words which are better unsaid.
I always get wine at rouses.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's nice. Well then, you know, our fourth president, which is James Madison, also said that philosophy is common sense with bigger words.
They ought to put up a sign that says that in Madisonville. It would make sense. No? You want to know where to eat in Madisonville? There are two places I would recommend to you. Actually, three. One of them is Morton's. Another one of them is the Hunger... Wait a minute. It's the... It's a little place. It's has the word shack in its name. Krabby Shack. That's it. Krabby Shack, and that's right in the middle of Madisonville. And there's one other restaurant they have there that's quite good, and that is Impastato Cellars. It is the same Impastato family that has Impastatos in Metairie, but this one, when they built it, They wanted to include a full-fledged retail wine operation. Nobody asked me, but I didn't think there was much chance of a really top-end wine store in Madisonville. Nothing against Madisonville people. But a wine store needs a certain amount of connoisseurs, or else you won't have enough money to keep it going. And they decided they had reached that point, and what they did instead was they turned it into a restaurant, period. Of course, they still have a lot of wine, but it's a great place. They have live music almost every night over there. That's more than the mothership has. But anyway, that's Madisonville. That's everything I know about Madisonville because we have had a quote from Madison himself. Well, this is a pretty good way to almost end up the program. What do we have left to do? Do I have anything before we can shove off? I'm going to go to a restaurant tonight, and I'll tell you tomorrow where it was, but I want you to know that you had the opportunity to tell me where to eat tonight. And I don't think I've heard from you, but we still have time to listen to you. We have a couple of minutes here. 260-6368. Real quick, call me. Tell me where I should go for dinner tonight. It has to be good enough that I will want to write an article about it. Interesting enough, maybe we should say. And let's hope it's good. Every now and then I write about restaurants that are not very good. I don't like doing that. And I don't do it very often, but sometimes it needs to be said. And I will never hold that back from you. Other than that, we have only a minute left. Come on, somebody give me one more place to go. We had one earlier that it sounded good, but, you know, I'm open for something else. No, here we get Count Basie. I had a dream only like a couple of days ago. Oh, that's George Benson? I think that's Count Basie's song, though. In it, someone said, what's the most valuable thing that America has brought to the world? And I just blurted out immediately, the big band of Count Basie. There's no doubt about it. That's what you're listening to right now. Well, I don't know about the big band, but I'll talk to you tomorrow. Maybe we'll have some other insights. And maybe not. We'll see. The Food Show on the...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.